Well, God bless you. We're glad to be back and fellowshipping here at the chapel and getting this teaching out to you. You know, the Bible is a very simple book, but it is the Word of God. And simple things, as they normally are, have great depth to them. The Word can be received very simply, in all of its simplicity, and yet it can be explored in the magnitude of its enormous truth. And that's why there's instructions in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And the word approved is esteemed before God. So I thought that's pretty interesting. We're planning to, or I'm planning to, switch to the New King James Version of the Bible. I want to try and keep it within the framework of the King James Version because that's one that's very easy to work with and to do our studies because we have a lot of books like the Strong's Concordance. We have the Young's Concordance and then the way things that are numbered. And that it helps us in our in the depth of our studies. But generally, in talking to people, I find people who do not have the background that we have oftentimes get a little confused and are concerned that they don't really understand the Bible, especially when you get thee and thou and some of these other things. And I thought the New King James Version would be good because you could follow along in your King James Version, but I'll be speaking in very plain English. Utilizing one of these other ones. At least I want to try it for a while and see if that helps people make the transition or gets rid of the temptation to fear that they're not going to understand this, they're not going to get it, and all of that. Of course, in your studies, there's a lot of Bibles that are that go side by side. You can go on like the Bible Hub and switch from the New International Version and see what it says in the Revised Standard Edition and all these different things that can help you. But I thought it would be good for you to know that I am going to make a change. I don't think you'll have a problem following me. Other than what you normally have with my mangling of the English language and my phrases that run through New York that the rest of the world still hasn't caught up with. But anyways, these are some of the things that we're planning over the next. Today's teaching and today's sharing, I'm directing more to our Amicus Alliance, our prayer group, that we do, but I do want to encourage everyone of the beloved to listen to this and to take this to heart and think about it not as another teaching from Larry Panarello, but more directly as something that our Father is saying through his word and encouraging us to do. As we've begun 2017, I believe that this can be a beginning of a year we increase the dynamic of living victoriously in a lot of categories. Well, we come to know and experientially know God as a loving Father in a greater degree and how much we are loved by God to the end that we grow as people who live and believe that they are loved by God. Live like they are righteous, live like they are redeemed, and live like they've been given the ministry of reconciliation, that they really are children of Almighty God, and they are people who walk with great power in a greater dynamic. 1 John 4:16 tells us, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him," or God in her also. When we know and believe the love God has for us, we'll live like men and women who are loved by God. And when we do, then fears go, inability vanishes, and we become more and more outwardly more than conquerors over the darkness and the defeat and the cares and pressures of this life. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And it's still true today. If God's people are being destroyed in any category of life, it is because we have become ignorant, or we were ignorant, of what God's word has to say. I think in one category, we can be an assistance to our brethren throughout the rest of the world in our prayer for our brethren with power. Men and women who are willing to run to the rescue because we are mindful, that is, that we're aware and take action because we wield the power of God and have been given authority to act in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the truth, and that's what we've been practicing. But now I think we need to sort of step it up this next year. You know, the path of the just grows brighter and brighter as we get closer to that day. Our lives should be getting better and better, but there we have brethren throughout the world that are not enjoying that, partly because they're ignorant, but that doesn't mean, and I don't mean ignorant and stupid, I'm just saying they don't know enough to believe, or they haven't shared enough to believe how much they should have victory in this life over the evil spirit realm. I'm not talking about, the people who run their countries or the people that run ours. Regardless of who's running our country, we can make intercession. We can enjoy bountifully. We can still live victoriously regardless of whatever the circumstances are, because it is a spiritual situation that we are involved in. And the scriptures tell us we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So I want to encourage you, especially those of us who know how to speak in tongues, know how to receive into manifestation the gift of Holy Spirit and then utilize it, which is perfect prayer. It's perfect praise to God. It is intercession for the saints according to the will of God. These great points that we already know, that we're not ignorant of, and that God is so mighty and so powerful, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, and he can go way beyond that because he is Almighty God, and we believe that also. And where there seems to be no way, God can make a way. There's so many records in the Old Testament. You read it, and if you think about it for a while, you think, man, these guys should have been wiped out. They were totally outnumbered. You know, I think of Gideon. Here they come blowing a trumpet. You know, these guys have swords. They've got spears. They've got, what's that thing that flings rocks at you? Was it?
Catapults,
yeah, flinging rocks at him and stuff like that, and they're going in it with a trumpet. And yet they were victorious. That's how mighty our God, beyond our imaginations, beyond our compassions even, and beyond our comprehension. I believe that is so true about God. And if we pray for our brethren with that mindset, and if we are mindful of them, because it's easy to forget people in other lands, and honestly we don't have to read the newspaper to figure that out or look it up on the internet. We know Christians, the main attack, the main enemy of our spiritual adversary is Christian people. Now, he hates all of mankind. He's misanthropic. We talk about misogynist. He's misanthropic. He hates all of mankind. And people need protection against that advancing darkness. And I believe that we, if we take the time and focus ourselves and are mindful and are aware to take upon us the intercession for the brethren, because regardless of whether they're Baptist, regardless of whether they're, I don't know, Roman Catholic or whatever, if they've confessed Jesus as their Lord, they're part of the family of God, and they are our brothers and sisters. And not that I don't care about other people in the world, but at least I know I can, in regard to people who have the Spirit of God, maybe don't utilize it, I can make intercession for them according to the will of God, and God can work within them to will and to do of his good pleasure and provide protection and provide help for them. And that's what I want to encourage our Amicus Alliance to run to the rescue in that regard, in prayer and commanding with authority for those spirits to back off. Command with authority that our brethren be shielded from the darkness that runs so rampant and attacks their lives. And exercise our power and authority. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. Just to restate it and just to read it again and just confirm for our lives this great truth. And you can read the record. Jesus sent out the 12, and then he sent out the 70. And it says in verse 17 of Luke 10, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Even the devils are subject to us through thy name. Boy, oh boy, what a tremendous thing. Subject is one who is under. They are under us. One who is under a sovereign, and the sovereign is the kingdom of God, and we have been given authority. We'll read that in a minute. "And he said unto them," Jesus said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And I believe that can happen today. We are excited with perhaps the promises that a new administration of our government is coming in, and things can get better. At least it looks like it's going to get better. This company is going to bring jobs, and that company is going to stay and give jobs, and another company here, at least in those categories. People are enthusiastic. I think I read 73% of the American people have a positive outlook for the future of our country. Regardless of jobs, regardless of all that, just from a spiritual perspective, I have a better outlook for our country, a more positive outlook for our country, because I know the scripture, not because we're changing administrations. I am knowing more and more, and I am believing more and more that I truly can walk with power. I can walk in light. I can bring light to others, and I cannot be subject to the things that the adversary would like me to be subject to. And even for us personally, to get that way, when you feel like you're getting attacked and you're getting attacked and you're getting attacked, use the name of Jesus Christ. You have authority. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I," Jesus Christ is saying to this, "give you power." And that word power is exousia. We like to say exercise power, but it's even more than that. It is the authority to exercise the power. We don't have to phone in. We don't have to wait for backup. We have it. It's always there. "I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the..." No, all the power. And the word power here is the Greek word dunamis, which is the potential. But everything that the adversary can potentially put together to attack humankind, we individually have power over. And we just need to exercise it. We need to get used to it. We get sidetracked wrestling with flesh and blood. We get sidetracked with fighting with somebody at our job, or, you know, all these other things. There's a simple solution in situations like that. You have a job, you don't have to leave it if you like it. And I'm not talking about Obamacare. You could keep your job if you like it. Have the other person move on. And a simple prayer, Father, so-and-so is not happy at this job, and I thank you for opening a door for them to get another job and move on. How about that? I don't mean them no harm. It's just that every time he or she and I get together, it's kind of, you know, and why should we go through life that way? Father, open a door where she can get blessed or he can get blessed and enjoy it and get a raise and whatever else that makes his life joyful. I kind of like the one where I'm at, and I'd like to stay. So, God, if you'll open the door for him. What's wrong with that? Or open the door for me and I'll move on. Because obviously we're holding each other back and we're both not enjoying what we should be enjoying. And I utilize the power of prayer. I make intercession. And also, God, if there are any spirits behind this constant irritation that we go through at work, I command it to stop, desist right now in Christ's powerful name. Do I have a right to do that? I give unto you authority. I give unto you power. And I think we become, I don't know if it's laziness or we're just not mindful of what God has given to us in the sense that we immediately pick up on it and say, hey, why am I, I'm not going to take this, because it's not, you know, the spirit realm works through people. And I'm not saying everybody I meet is possessed or anything else, but he sure makes the world an irritation to people, you know, makes families irritations to people, makes all these things. And we sit there and say, oh, you know, oh, what a day. Oh, I can't wait until this day is over. Well, don't wait till the day is over. Act now. Utilize the power and authority we have. Let's get to be people who know and believe the love that God has for them and live like men and women who are loved by God. He's given us the power. He's given us the authority. We're still waiting for him to fix everything when he's given us power and authority to command. You know, I don't have to get into a physical fight with him. I don't have to sneak around and try and do what I can to get the person fired or transferred or something like that. I've got better connections than that. I have connections with God Almighty. And I can command for things for that involve other people for their benefit, not for the negative. See, it's subject. It says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means, what?
Hurt you.
So it's not going to come back to you for hurt. It will do you good. God will do you good all your life. Everything God has set up, it's to do you good. Because God is good. How often?
Always.
And he never misses. Oh, doggone it, I forgot to be good today. but we have that, and we need to start relying more and more on the spiritual realities that we know and believe. Nothing shall by any means shall hurt you through or by way of the name of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the 118th Psalm. Now, there's two ways to look at this. You can look at it from strictly a census point of view, or you can look at it from the spiritual realities that are behind life, that cause the things in life, that are the source of darkness in life, and handle it from that perspective. But the truth of this remains the same. 118 Psalm, did I say? Mm-hmm. Oops. And in verse 10, it says, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I, what?
Destroy
them. In his situation, it was a physical fight, or at least that's the way he had to handle it. This is David speaking. That's the way he had to handle it. But if we look at it from the spiritual point of view, I give you authority over all the power, the dunamis, of our enemy, which is the root one, the spiritual one, the masters of the darkness of this world. I give you authority. Then the destruction is to destroy the works and remove the darkness. Can light and darkness occupy the same place at the same time?
No.
No, they cannot. Is there a struggle when light goes into a room to get the darkness out?
No.
You know, the darkness moves, oh, and then you give more light, and then the darkness pushes. No, it goes. That's the kind of power and authority we have. Over all the dunamis, the potential power of the enemy, still darkness cannot budge light one inch. But light will drive it out, and that's where I mean, look at the destroy as light pushing the darkness out of the room. Putting it to ruin. Think of it in terms of spiritual domination. Let us allow God Almighty with his power and his light, because God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is love. God is good. God is gracious. God is kind. Let that push all of the darkness out in a spiritual domination. Now, in his name, we have the right to utilize the name of Jesus Christ. We have the right to use the name of God. But we understand it from the perspective of using the name of Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 14, Gospel of John, and get light from this great good news given to the Apostle John and then written so that we might know these great truths. It's not another teaching by John. It is the Word of God to us. In John 14, and I'll get there sometime. I need that new Bible just so I could turn the pages. Mine stick together. John 14, verse 13. This is Jesus Christ speaking. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will
do it.
We have the right to use the name of Jesus Christ. We have the authority, and it's in the name of Jesus Christ, so we have the authority, and we also have the power because we know we received that gift of Holy Spirit. We are witnesses unto him because we have spoken in tongues, and we know that we know that we know. There's no question in our mind. Is there any question in your mind that you're born again of God once you have spoken in tongues? None whatsoever. Then there should be no question in your mind that you have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ, because the same word of God that told you about speaking in tongues tells you, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. The power of God in that name is released when we confess it. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. And this is what we should have expectations when we are praying and we make these commands in the name of Jesus Christ. And does God want us swallowed up over our enemies?
No,
absolutely not. Definitely no. It's a definite no. Starting in verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, are we walking in his statutes?
Yes.
If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be... Did you do that?
Yes.
Okay, you're walking in his commandments and his statutes. His statutes and his commandments. Love one another. If you walk in my commandments, my statutes, and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land how? And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Isn't that a wonderful thing to pray for our brethren and be a part of what turns the power of God loose in those areas, free to move so that they can enjoy these things? We can't be there, and I don't particularly want to be there. We don't have to wade into Syria or someplace else and get into the fight and all of that. But we can command. If you go through the Old Testament, there were times where they were getting ready to battle and, you know, the earth opened up and the people fell in it or some other thing happened. Situations that made it impossible for them to carry out what they wanted to do. I've been in situations where they were forming to attack on a situation or getting ready to be attacked, and it rained so hard, it got so full of mud, you couldn't move an inch. You couldn't move the artillery because it was stuck in the mud. Couldn't move the vehicles, they were stuck in the mud, and absolutely nothing happened. Why? Because of rain. You know, I don't know. But I don't have to know. I know God can do exceeding abundantly above anything I can ask or think. And he does. I would have never thought of that. You know, David was on one side of the mountain with the children of Israel, and Saul was on the other side of the mountain. And there was such a fog and such a darkness, they could hear each other speak, but they couldn't even see each other. And God kept the children of Israel that were under David and the children of Israel that was under Saul, King Saul, from killing each other because they couldn't see each other. I mean, who would have thought of that? Okay. And I will give you peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And that's something. Don't be afraid. And I think we can help our brethren from being afraid because God has a wonderful way to work things that can set people's heart at ease. Some people get blessed and they're at ease looking at a river. Some people do, it's other things. But I don't know. God knows. I don't know what goes in a man's heart. But God does. And I believe God can work something for everybody to the end that they're at peace and they're not afraid. None shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. We look at the sword as being the word of God, and we look at our enemies as being the evil spirit realm. What can we do to put the evil spirit realm on the run and protect our brethren? That's why I'm asking our Amicus Alliance to make a commitment to pray for Christian people all over the world for their lives and their prosperity and their safety. And to do that daily and commit yourself to do that daily. And any other of our brethren that would like to be a part of that, that's wonderful. And next November when we finish our term of service as Amicus Alliance and other people. You'd like to be a part of the Amicus Alliance, we'll handle that then. But this is just, this is true. And you have to look at it again from the spiritual perspective, because there are lots of evil spirits, but we can put them on the run. And if we put them on the run, then they can't function in the people that they functioned in. And 500 and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 shall put to flight your enemies. Shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the light of the word. How's that? Because the adversary cannot stand against the truth of God's word. Jesus Christ was face to face with him, and he could not do a thing because Jesus spoke the word. Just beautiful. Well, pray and make intercession. The scriptures tell us, go ye into the world. We can't all travel. That's not necessarily necessary. But we can reach any part of the world with our prayer instantaneously, because God is everywhere. Think of spiritual domination. Be witnesses and act upon his authority that he has given to us. God is a covenant God, and he is a covenant keeper. And verse 9 says, for I will have respect unto you and make you fruitful and multiply you and establish my covenant with you. And he is a covenant God, and he will keep his part of the covenant. Why don't we get involved and enjoy the part that we get to do? And ye shall eat old store and bring forth the old because of the new, and the rest of the things that it has to say there. But he is a covenant keeper, and remember, we have spiritual dominion. Ephesians chapter 6, and just to establish it for you once again, because these are great truths. And we don't have to figure out, where's our enemy strongholds? Where's our enemy doing this? Where are his prisoner of war camps? God knows. And the power of God will find it. And the power of God will triumph over it. Just commit yourself to the power of God that's resonant within you, and command in the name of Jesus Christ, and it shall be done for us. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And the word might is prevailing power. It will prevail. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. None of us are smart enough to figure them out, because we can't see them. We don't know. But God has this all figured out, all planned, and he's given us the opportunity to be a part of it, because that power is resident within us. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we ever get that through in our mind and quit pointing fingers, and, you know, and I still get caught up in it, you know, political parties and all this other bunch of baloney that really don't do anything. All we do is change sides and continue the game. We have absolute power. We have absolute authority. We can make it cease and desist. If we take unto us the whole armor of God, and that's not shields and spears and habergeons and whatever else they used to use and all of that stuff. That is operating the power of God that's resonant within us. Speak much in tongues in your private prayer life. Speak in tongues for intercession for the saints according to the will of God. command in the name of Jesus Christ in the language that you know, that this stops in the name of Jesus Christ. Command that the power of God be resonant to push the darkness out so people can be left with the light of God and come to know the truth of God's word and not be ignorant and destroyed because they lack knowledge. Pray for Christians everywhere with a full focus prayer against the darkness. Make intercession for the saints. Pray to effect change in the power of the name of Jesus Christ on the lips of one who believes. And our authority for power is awesome. Look at Jeremiah chapter 32. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Verse 27. See, if we had to do it by our own power, if we had to do it by our own words and think of what is the right word to say in this situation, what is the right word to use, we'd have trouble. Because I speak in English sometimes, and I still can't find the right words to say. So I expect and believe that God will be at work within me to will and to do of his good pleasure and to help me because I desire to help others through his mighty power. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And the word hard is marvelous. Extraordinary, beyond one's power to do, but it is under his command we can do the impossible. Beyond the bounds of human expectation. Why? Because we can do a wondrous work because he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. As the Weymouth translation of Ephesians 3:20 is, now to him who in exercise of his power that is at work within us is able to do indefinitely beyond our highest prayers or thoughts. Isn't that beautiful? Don't get confused by indefinitely. I think for our understanding, he can definitely do that. But he can do it for an indefinite period of time because he expands over eternity. In the New International Version, it reads, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us. In James chapter 5, and this is why I am encouraging all of you to be a part of this. I'm assigning the Amicus Alliance, but I'm encouraging all of you to do this. And here is the reason why. Go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And in verse 13, is any among you afflicted? The word afflicted means to be touched by or affected by with a sense of misery. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Are any of you afflicted? I would say our brethren definitely have been afflicted in other parts of the world. But we do not need to have planes. We don't need to have ways to get our armies into these places. The relief that they need is something we can bring through the power of God that's resonant within us, that you have full authority in the name of Jesus Christ to command because they are subject to us. Knock it off. Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. I think by now, every one of you that are listening to me are elders of the church. You've been around for years. You've read the word. You've studied the word. You've done word studies. You've done all of these different things. I would consider you in that category of being an elder. Conduct yourself as an elder. And here's what he's requesting of the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick or the afflicted, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And then it goes on to say in verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The word availeth is the word prevail. We will prevail. Your prayers will prevail. You can do it. Run to the rescue. We need to bring relief. So what do I do? Well, here am I, send me. Romans 8:26. Bring prevailing prayers. Let me read that verse to you. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, or on our behalf and on their behalf for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered. Words and commands that are beyond our compassion and even beyond our comprehension. Bring prevailing prayers, groanings which cannot be uttered, beyond our comprehension and beyond even our own compassion. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we know that all things work together for good in harmonious perfection to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And everyone that has confessed Jesus as their Lord and believed in their hearts God raised him from the dead, they are the ones whom he has called according to his purpose. And there are others to be added to it. But we know our intercession is perfect prayer for them. A prayer that's beyond our comprehension and beyond even our own compassion. It is moved by the Spirit of God and the love of Christ that's within us. I've done 10 teachings at least right now that are on our website on prayer. I encourage you to fortify yourself for this rescue mission. I encourage you to fortify yourself in your prayer life and in what you have and what you are called to do. And I invite everyone else, because 2017, this is the beginning of years to live victoriously. Bless your hearts.